Good morning, everybody. Bo and I are on our back porch with all the wildlife, the birds, the geese, the ducks.
Those are all birds.
Yeah, they sound great. It's a beautiful day, and this is Palm Sunday, and I was reading in John 12:14, Jesus found a donkey and sat upon it. As Scripture says, do not fear, city of Zion. See, your king is coming, sitting on the colt of a donkey. And this is the day that we celebrate the entry of Christ when he went into Jerusalem. Imagine that day when Jesus was on that donkey going into Jerusalem and everyone singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus, he is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Last week I did a few shout outs to people around the country that were watching service to this morning. I'd like to shout out to our friends in Hull, the Thompson family. Love you guys, miss you. Love that you're here. Also to the Ericksons who are out in Seattle watching. Thank you for being faithful to our services. We've had a few people who had birthdays this last week. It's weird having a birthday being sheltered. Our Ava had a birthday. So it's trying to make things just a little bit special for people because, you know, you're stuck at home. So our little Adriana had a birthday. Happy birthday, Adriana. I heard that Asa had a birthday. My niece Katie's having a birthday today. She's in Oklahoma. One of our adopted sons, Nick Masterson, is having a birthday too. So he could still be asleep. I don't know, but I want to wish him a happy birthday. So it is a gorgeous day here in the Batavia, Geneva, St. Charles area. It's just absolutely beautiful. And I hope the sun is shining where you're at too.
Lord, we bow down to worship.
and our hands we will raise to surrender all. Surrender all. Our cares we lay at your
God.
Bo's going to sing a song for us. He's going to lead us. Keys are sometimes sticking here. My piano keys are sticking, so... And the ducks like that song.
The birds.
The birds. I'm going to end with a song I wrote. It was inspired by my dad. He told me some things that he'd gone through as a kid and struggles and things, being an orphan. And I was thinking of how when we all go through things and how the Lord will just wrap his arms around us if we allow him to. And so I wrote this song called Within Your Wings. Within your wings, let me hide myself. Within your wings, there is shelter, comfort, and strength. When the walls life come crashing in, and I will rest within your wings. Unfailing love, hold on to me. Unfailing love, to you I With my last breath I'll leave and see. I will rest within your wings. Within your wings, let me hide myself. Within your wings, every shelter, comfort, and strength. When the walls of life come crashing in, I will rest. Stay tuned. Pastor Kurt will be on in just a few seconds to bring you a Palm Sunday message. God bless you all.
Good morning, church. I unfortunately don't have the same beautiful setting as Pastor Brian had for worship, but I did open the windows a little. So it's possible you may still hear some birds singing in the background because the window is open this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, again, for the privilege and opportunity we have to be together, to call out on your name, to worship you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, I thank you for your hand being upon us and your hedge being about us at this crazy time that we're living in. Lord, I think of all of those out there that are dealing with this virus, Lord, they're dealing with these different health issues. Lord, some, it's affected greatly. Others, it's affected in minor ways, but they're still dealing with this crazy virus. Lord, would you minister to them today? Would you touch them today? Would you bring healing and wholeness to their flesh today? Lord, would you help them to breathe without issue, Father God? Would you help them to regain their strength and their energy. Lord, I just pray that you would have mercy and remove this virus completely in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the word this morning as well as we talk together in Jesus' name. Amen. The year was 33 AD. His people were living under Roman rule, but tired and longing for a deliverer to rise up and save them. From a religious standpoint, the people trusted their leaders. Maybe because they didn't know any better. Maybe because they actually thought they were right. See, they had been raised to treat their religious authorities almost as royalty. People who knew all right from wrong, people who held great discernment in all matters. Those leaders, they claimed to know the law and to live in accordance to all of its requirements. Over the years, those requirements had been twisted, even distorted in many cases, to make the leaders look better than they truly were. While the leaders were doing what they could to keep themselves looking good, the people were growing weary and looking for, even longing for, that deliverer to come and instantly make everything right. The people yearned to be free, but did they understand that freedom had a price? They wanted to be out of Roman control, not subject to all that oppression that they had felt. But did they know what they were asking for? Little did they realize that true freedom was living among them and about to be sacrificed for them. For about 3 years at that point, their deliverer had publicly walked with them, talked with them, taught them a great deal. He even took the time to point out the errors of the religious leaders, some of the things they were thinking, some of the actions that they were doing. When he stood there in their streets and their temple courts, few of them recognized him for who he truly was. During this time with them, he fulfilled a great many details of what was written about him centuries before. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. But for some reason, neither the people nor the leaders could see all those different signs that were pointing directly to their deliverer. You know, even those leaders wanted a deliverer. They simply had some very specific terms on which they would accept their deliverer. Some along the way did believe. Some had their eyes opened to the truth that was walking among them. But most people were deceived or blinded to that truth. Even that select chosen group of people that he called his own. Years of favor, years of protection, years of provision and blessing, and most of all, mercy. Yet ultimately, they did not recognize the one that the law had talked so much about. Instead, they turned on him and even sought to kill him. There was a brief moment of hope. There was a very short time of praise and adoration and worship by his people. There was this one public display of affection when it appeared that maybe, just maybe, they had recognized their deliverer. It all started when a man who was dearly loved by many, a man whose name was Lazarus, had fallen sick. His sisters and a few others, they knew of Jesus. They believed in him. They recognized him as their deliverer. They had seen him do many miracles. They had seen him heal others. So when Lazarus got sick, they sent for him, as he was only a short distance away. They had hoped, they had believed that Jesus could make their brother well again. Upon hearing that plea for help, Jesus' friends wanted to go immediately to see Lazarus. But Jesus said no. They needed to wait a few days. By the time they did make that journey to go see Lazarus, he was dead. When one of the sisters heard that Jesus was on his way, she went out and she met him. Her first words to Jesus were, "If only you would have been here, my brother would still be alive." The other sister didn't even come out to meet Jesus. She stayed at home and grieved. Yet even in the valley of all this emotional despair, this man named Jesus looked to comfort and encourage everybody that was around him. He asked them a question. He said, Where have you buried Lazarus? So they took him to Lazarus' tomb. By now, both sisters were together at that tomb with their brother because Jesus had called for both of them. Then Jesus asked for something that no one could have thought of. He asked for the tomb to be opened. Now, as you can imagine, this was a request that was met with a bit of protest. It's been 4 days, Lord, since then. Lord, by now, the smell. But Jesus again reassured them. Trust me. Believe, he said. Because their hometown of Bethany was such a short distance from Jerusalem, many Jews had come to comfort and encourage the sisters of Lazarus. They too wondered what this Jesus would do now. They had heard of him healing others, and they had questions of their own. Why did he not come and heal his own friend? Yes, Jesus and Lazarus were called friends. That's why many were confused when he did not immediately go to Lazarus when he had received the news of his sickness. With this large crowd gathered now at the open tomb, it's pretty safe to say what Jesus did next was also very unexpected. He did not go into the tomb, as many thought he would do. Instead, he raised his voice to heaven. He gave thanks to his Father for sending him so that others might believe. And then he simply called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! I'm sure you could see the look of bewilderment on everyone's face. Their thoughts were probably written on their very expressions. This guy must be crazy. He's asking a dead man to come walking out of the tomb. Imagine how their expressions changed just a few moments later. See, Jesus didn't have to repeat himself or do anything more. Had his one command, Lazarus, the dead man, came walking out of the tomb that had covered him for 4 days. After removing all of his grave clothes from his body, Lazarus was restored to his sisters. The entire crowd stood there in awe, no longer concluding he was crazy, but instead considering that he was someone very special. Many now believed in him because of this one incredible event. And others, even after witnessing this, still detested him and plotted to kill him. What none of them realized was the sign they just received, a sign that would soon be repeated and revealed to far more people, a sign that would bring far greater joy, far greater good news, news that would not fade away in a day or two, but news that would be an eternal sign to all people. The word of Lazarus rising from the dead spread quickly across the land. A week before Passover, a large crowd gathered to celebrate with Lazarus and his sisters. They held a dinner together in which Jesus attended. When they heard the story and saw the evidence of a living Lazarus before them, many more believed, both Gentile and Jew. Not only did they believe, but they were willing to follow Jesus. That, of course, made many of their religious leaders mad. Mad enough that they wanted to kill both Jesus and Lazarus more than ever before. That anger that they had increased as the people in Jerusalem heard that Jesus was on his way to them. You see, it's with great excitement that those who believed went out to meet him. They were so touched, they were so changed by the news of Lazarus being raised from the dead. They began, if even for a moment, to think that maybe this man named Jesus was indeed their deliverer, the deliverer they had been waiting so long for. They were so excited, so convinced by this thought that they couldn't wait for him to come to them. They had to go out and meet him. As he approached the city of Jerusalem, they laid their cloaks on the ground before him. They spread palm branches and waved them around as he entered. And they began to shout great praise and adoration. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise, deserved of royalty. Praise, deserved of a king, as they continued to shout. Blessed is the King of Israel. But as Jesus approached the city, he looked out, saw Jerusalem there just before him, and he responded much differently than we may have expected him to respond. With the city in his sights, Jesus was seen weeping, crying for that city. Not with glad or joyful tears, but with tears of compassion and sorrow for what he knew was about to happen. This same crowd that had gathered together because of what they had seen and heard about Lazarus was looking for, was expecting this king that came riding in to take charge and free them from Rome. But this king came riding in on a donkey. An animal that did not symbolize war, but in fact symbolized peace. Didn't take long for the leaders of the land to enact their terrible plot against this outsider. They did not like him, and they wanted him gone from their presence once and for all. That was their mindset. Not long after this journey into the city, one of the men who had walked alongside with Jesus for about 3 years now saw an opportunity. He wondered just how much money he might make if he were to help the leaders of the law. This friend, this traitor, this man named Judas, he agreed to lead some soldiers to Jesus so that he might be arrested. Arrested, though he had committed no crime. Sadly, when he was arrested, all of those that followed him scattered in fear. After his arrest, more false witnesses came forward, blaming and accusing Jesus of things he did not do. And the religious leaders, they were the ones that encouraged them to make those false claims. Just a few days earlier, this man came riding into town, cheered on by a great crowd of people. People who were shouting words of praise and adoration, treating him like a king. But he didn't do what they expected him to do. He did not provide the deliverance the way they wanted him to on their terms. So within just a few days, that crowd that shouted praise were now convinced that they had been wrong about this man named Jesus. Wrong about him being the deliverer. Wrong about him being a king. Wrong about giving him praise. In fact, their excitement, their passion turned from that adoration to condemnation. They joined their earthly leaders at that point and secured Jesus' crucifixion, even allowing a known convicted murderer to go free just so that Jesus could be sentenced. Within a week, people had changed their shouts of praise to demands of "Crucify him!" At that point, the man hailed for a moment by the people as king and deliverer was handed over to be crucified. All without ever resisting or demanding evidence of his own guilt, without refuting their claims or speaking a word against any of them. He stood before them, allowing them to have their own way with him. Today is April 5th, 2020, Palm Sunday, as we call it. This is the day that we celebrate that triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem that occurred almost 2,000 years ago. A day that commemorates the one and only time that Jesus willingly allowed people to publicly worship and praise him as he so deserved to be. This is the beginning of Holy Week by our terms. A week when we reflect back on all the events that took place in those days between joyful celebration, crucifixion, and the resurrection of a risen Savior. Biblically, that week leading up to the cross brought more evidence of messianic fulfillment than any of us can probably fathom or understand. Yet the people that were there, that lived through it, that walked with him through all of this, they did not see any of it. They did not accept any of it. Instead, they shouted, "Crucify." What about us? What do we see in all of this? What do we expect from our deliverer, our Savior and King? What do we draw from this week in history? Might be thinking maybe we should do things a little differently this year than we have before. Maybe we should spend just a little bit more time this year reflecting on everything that Jesus has done for us. Everything he did in that week, the week we're about to celebrate, and everything that he has done for us every single day as we have come to know him as Lord and Savior of our lives. There's no question that the busyness of life for most of us has been put on pause this year. Perhaps that pause can be used to spend time counting every blessing that we have received from our Savior, even those little blessings that we might typically overlook or not even think about. See, too many times this week, too many times Easter Sunday comes and goes, and all we get out of it is a full belly from a good meal. Jesus isn't interested in our spiral hams, our deviled eggs, or our chocolate-filled candy baskets. Jesus is interested in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives. The whole reason that he came to this earth, the whole reason he endured everything that man had to offer him, and the whole reason he still willingly laid down his life is so that you and I might truly live, that we might receive that blessing from the Creator of all things, life eternal. This time next week, we'll be rejoicing, we'll be celebrating, we'll be talking about how great it is that we serve a risen Savior and King. Until then, maybe we can just take a little more time and have a week of reflection, a week to refocus. Refocus on who Christ is to us, what he has done for us, what it means to be his disciple, to understand everything that he endured on our behalf. There's one verse of Scripture that sums all of this up beautifully. Let me read it to you this morning. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. We serve an incredible Savior. Next week, we'll rejoice and celebrate his resurrection. This week, I encourage you to reflect on and remember everything he went through for you and I. Give him the praise and the glory that he deserves. I'm going to close in prayer this morning. And after I'm done praying, I want you to stay with us for just a second. I'm going to play a song this morning that Pastor Brian wrote along with one of his friends, Steve Lowndes. Several years ago, they wrote this song, but it beautifully talks about that night that Jesus was in the garden. So stay with us for just a few minutes after I pray this morning. Father, again, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your love and grace and mercy. Lord, too many times in life, we just kind of go through the day and forget how much you've done for us. Forget how much you're doing for us. Forget how much you love us and protect us. God, sometimes that just escapes our mind and our hearts. Lord, would you forgive us of that this morning? Lord, I pray that this week, as we celebrate Holy Week, as we think about all the different things that you went through as you entered into that city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, God, would you help us to remember that you did it all for us? You endured it all for us. You died so that we might live. God, let that thought be at the center of our hearts and minds this week. In Jesus' name.
Disciples fell.